I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder. Make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
Have you seen Dynamite at all?
Yeah, I watched it finally.
What are your overwhelming impressions from watching AEW Dynamite, the most recent edition?
Well, I'll say this. In short, I liked it better than the pay-per-view. But I like, but you know, it was okay. It was pretty typical. I mean, it had its ups and downs, but nothing really stood out as being overly horrible or overly great, you know.
Did you record it or were you watching
it? Yeah, I recorded it. I skipped it. Now, I will say I did skip over a little bit toward the end so I could just go ahead and see the whole Elite.
Yeah.
Not Elite, but the
Inner Circle.
Inner Circle. So many freaking factions, yeah.
I would like a – do we have a name for MJF's faction yet?
I'm sure we will if we don't.
Since it's so close to Passover, can we just call them Inglorious Bastards? Would that be okay, or is that...
That'd be fine. That's a good one, actually. Like,
here's Tony Khan. Well, I have purchased the rights to name Inglorious Bastards, so we could use that, and we're going to spell it the same way Tarantino did with B-A-S-T-E-R-D-S, so I've got that.
maybe he'll have Tarantino come and, like, bequeath it to them, you know, himself.
A couple of things. First of all, the... You got the basketball audio that was being piped in the middle of the show. You heard that?
I don't know. What was it during? What was that?
It was during like a tag match or something. They just started pumping in some audio,
like
from
sneakers and stuff, and all like squeaky.
Yeah, crowd
sound.
Noise and everything.
All what the shit. Hell? Why did I miss I this? Know. I don't know.
I mean, and I, as an experienced audio engineer, I was wondering like if you had some sort of idea about something like that happens.
Sounds like somebody on the main circuit did something wrong, but I don't know.
And then they were.
I'm assuming that was by accident. It wasn't.
I'm assuming. And then there was. I don't know. We could work it into storyline. That's like somebody's way of trying to fuck up the broadcast.
Well,
since they're so good at explaining away other fuck ups.
Well, you know, if they're going to slow burn the old MJF bullshit, you know, under the radar and stuff for the last year, I think they can slow burn some audio like that too and make us wonder. Where did that come from?
I guess Twitter's mad at Jimmy Cornette again because he called Penelope Ford a pit stop or something.
A pit stop?
I don't know.
I see what you did there.
It's misogynistic or something. I don't know because the guy blocked me a long time ago. Maybe he figured out that me and Bruce Mitchell are buds.
Yeah, well, you know, that is a hex.
I'm not really sure. I just take it that Twitter's pissed off at Jimmy again. I was just listening to their shit. He's very angry at Tony Khan yet again.
Really?
Yeah. He's very angry for fucking up the wrestling business that he spent his whole life on and blah, 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 blah.
Stuff. One of those diatribes, yeah.
And then he's like, I don't know. It's weird. You know, he's irrationally upset about so many things.
That's why it's so hard to like the man.
I'm not saying that he's wrong for like, but I guess it's the scale of the reaction that's a little, it seems to be like extremely personal to him.
You know, I get it in a way. And you know, I really shouldn't get on him about being that way because, you know, I guess if I was in the business and I loved it as much as he did, you know, whatever it is. And somebody, if I thought somebody was coming in and undercutting it and turning it into bullshit, then, you know, I'd probably have a little heart on my sleeve too, you know. I used to really feel that way.
But I used to feel that way about radio. I used to really love radio. Yeah. When people sucked at it and stuff like that, I would be like irrationally upset about it. But I would turn it into a competition thing and shit like that.
Right. I get you. Totally understand that.
Then radio fucked me over. I'm like, I don't know why I'm in love with this thing anymore. Yeah. So maybe I should drop that.
You can sound like shit all you want.
I don't know.
I don't care.
maybe this is an unrequited love.
maybe.
He's got a Twitter feud with Miro, apparently, that was going on. Apparently he and Miro
had Miro taking up for Penelope Ford for whatever he said to her or something.
I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on here. It's hard to keep up with these Twitter things. He calls her Penelope Pit Stop. So if there was any question about any sort of
that's funny, man. Only people that are old like us even get that.
I guess it's to be honest, all right, if that's misogynistic, it's like really bad misogyny.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute, man. Are you serious? This Penelope Pit Stop is why they're mad?
Yeah, it says it right here.
He didn't say anything else about her. They're mad because he called her Penelope Pit Stop.
I guess.
The old cartoon character from the early 70s.
I guess that's what he's going for.
And people are taking pit stop as meaning people like make a pit stop in Penelope.
And well, like she's like some kind of whore, and then they're going to move on from her or something.
Right. Come on, you dumbasses.
I honestly don't see this as reducing her value or anything. I don't see this is like dirt off your shoulder. If she even heard this or not, I don't know.
See, that's just, you know, I'm going to go here. Okay, I'm going to pull my little once in a 6 month spew like Cornette on something here because I get irritated.
Yeah.
People like, all right, I'm going to use Miro as an example here. I don't know. I don't really keep up with him. I don't think I even follow him. But he's the type of person, it sounds like, who doesn't acknowledge anybody who gives him any kind of accolades in any kind of way. But the first fucking person to say something the least little bit negative about him, oh, let's quote tweet and tear them apart. I hate that. And I'm so ready to drop about five people that I follow because that's all they do. You know, they just look for shit to post, to retweet, and then bitch about it because somebody said something bad about them. And that goes for anybody that's got a little fucking star circle thing above their name on Twitter, a little verification thing. However popular you are or you're not, if you got one of those things, I consider you a public figure, which I guess you are.
This is Jim replying to something. He goes, I never said it. I just heard it said that if Penelope Ford had as many dicks sticking out of her as she had stuck in her, she'd look like a porcupine. I never said that, but somebody who'd have relations with Jelly Nutella should have a medical professional on her speed dial.
You know,
is that beyond the pale?
If he didn't say it, if he's being serious and didn't say it, and he's just saying somebody else said it, you can't get mad at Cornette. He's just saying
that's a cheap way of repeating it, though.
It is a cheap way of repeating it, I will say. But, you know.
So he's mad at Miro, and he calls Miro like a gamer and shit like that.
Yeah, I saw.
And he's like, answer me, old man. And they go on, and then he takes the shot at Penelope Ford. I guess this is the latest Twitter feud that I'm supposed to care about. I don't know.
That's kind of a lame one. I've enjoyed his other ones better than this.
They went around and around and around and around on the, all night long. That was like Miro's way if Miro thinks in any way he's like trying to polish that turd from what happened on Sunday on a Wednesday night, I mean, I don't think that's going to be helpful.
Yeah, man. That shouldn't even be part of that whole thing.
So you saw the first thing that they came on to try to explain away what happened on Sunday night with the main event was they had the Eddie Kingston promo with John Moxley, and they're sitting around and drinking. John Moxley's like, hey, I got my old buddy back. And Eddie Kingston goes, the reason I laid there in the ring is because I had an anxiety attack. He had an anxiety attack, and that's why he laid there in the ring, even though the explosion was like a real downer and didn't really do shit, right?
I'm trying to wrap it around my head, man. I really am.
And then later on, you know, they have the whole situation where they try to explain it away with Don Callis and with Kenny Omega and everybody. And that's when we get to 69 Me Don. We get to that point of the thing. What the fuck is – they did. They turned Kenny Omega into Wile E. Coyote. I mean, that's essentially what the explanation is going to be. Like, he did this. He tried to hurt you guys, and it fizzled out and turned into a sparkler fest. That's essentially what it is, right?
Yeah, a sparkler fest. That's exactly – yes. It's exactly what it was.
There's no way to really get away from that. There's no way to really get away
from that. That was pretty much I don't know. What do you call it? I don't know. I can't think of the term now. But that was just – oh, Worst case scenario. That's what it's called.
Worst case. Yeah. Well,
worst case scenario.
It's a barbed wire death match. You have all these promos. You have the Japanese guy. Hey, this is like the deadly thing, and it's blah blah. And then Tony. This is the great. What I love afterwards was Tony was TK, because I call him TK because we're close like that.
Yeah, you're like that.
Because TK comes out at the press conference. Goes, look, you bloodthirsty fucking wrestling fans. What'd you want them to die? Like it's our fault, right? Like they haven't promoted this as like, oh, somebody could really get hurt. Like they haven't promoted this for like. Weeks and weeks and weeks in advance, you need to spend $50 because somebody could get mangled.
And then he tries to make
people feel bad about it. Oh, man, what'd you want to do, die? I'm like, well, they have these things that explode all the time, and Terry Funk's still alive. I see him walking around and shit. Mick Foley's still alive. I see him walking around and shit and writing books and doing stand-up and all kind of stuff. And so, I mean, it can be done with, like, a big explosion that looks good without killing somebody. I know it can be done.
And this was what? What you're talking about is 15, 20 years ago.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't understand Tony like trying to make people, well, what'd you want somebody? No, I want like you as a son of a billionaire to have somebody who knows what they're doing to rig this thing up so it looks good without hurting anybody. And I don't know why you would try to make me feel bad about that because you, for like 3 or 4 weeks, you encouraged me to pay $50 to see it. So I don't know.
Okay. And I started thinking about it after I did watch that promo with, after I watched the whole show and, cause after we heard all kinds of explanations about what happened and jokes and shit like that. What they really could have done is they could have explained that a little bit better, obviously with Kingston. He could have come in there and said, I really thought that everything was going to explode. I was covering Moxley and I was, you know, I don't know why he had to lay there so long. That's the thing. If he had gotten up like during the middle of it and said, okay, this is okay. And then, you know, okay. And worked with it instead of just draping like he was dead for 15 minutes. That's what kind of made it so weird to me.
Well, it was the anxiety attack because the last time he was in prison, okay. the guard came by and it gave him an anxiety attack.
I still haven't put that one together yet. I'm working on it.
What's cool for people who are in prison to do is admit that they have anxiety attacks. That's something you often hear.
Going to Rikers Island and Sing Sing.
Yes. I was at Disney World and all of a sudden the thing was spinning. It reminded me of bars. I had an anxiety attack and I froze. Oh, is that what happened?
I don't know. I'm still trying to process it. Really. I for what it's worth, I think Kingston and Mox did okay with the promo for what they were given to do, I guess. They were somewhat convincing, even though it didn't make sense, I guess, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But then the whole Omega and Callis version, just, you know, making it into almost a joke, which it is a joke in a way, but you could still make it to where it wasn't totally jokey at the end. You know what I'm saying?
It sort of reminded me of like when Vince Russo fucked up and sent that thing to Mike Johnson instead of Mike Tenay. And then he tried to play it off like, well, I got him again. I got the Mox again. They think I'm still writing for Impact, but I'm not, bro. And he was like trying to play it off like they were the idiots.
Yeah, like he was like trying to pull one on them. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super genius. There's that Wile E. Coyote thing again.
Flick like that.
They fucked up like on two occasions, like with email. It was Russo doing that, and then Dixie fucked up on some Dixie email. Doing the,
yeah.
Those people, they couldn't master email.
It's just like, how do you, you know, you need to back up from the hardware.
She's that bad at email. How did like she sleep with all those wrestlers allegedly and not get caught by her husband, like with a text message that was supposed to go to Kevin Nash that it's, you know, accidentally went to Jock or whatever her name, her husband was.
So did they call her Porcupine then?
I'm not sure if it was Jock or not. I can't remember what her husband did. Some of the music for TNA too, because you know Nashville.
Well, you know, got to get some real deals in there. Oh, by the way, speaking of TNA, you did. You know they had a pay per view last night, didn't you? Because
the only thing I heard from that was that Juice and David Finlay won the tag titles.
Yep. Yeah,
that's the only thing brothers. I heard. And there was a unification thing between Moose and Rich Swann.
Yep.
How did that go?
Swanee run. I don't know how. I just looked at the results, but he apparently won.
Yeah, perhaps you people, perhaps you guys should be a little more upset that the guy who like hit his woman allegedly is being crowned champion of TNA.
Talk about the sweeper. That's a sweeper. Under the rugger.
Two new champions were crowned during Impact Sacrifice on Impact Plus. A new X Division champion was crowned. Ace Austin defeats TJP to win the championship for his second time. He ended TJP's third reign with the championship after 92 days. Austin defeated TJP after pinning him with a double stomp in the fold. Finjuice, which is a stupid name for a tag team. I don't give a shit. Finjuice defeated the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, in the co-main event. See, that's the other piece of like revisionist history that's happening as far as the pay-per-view on Sunday was. Everything was going just great until Gallows and Anderson showed up. And then everything from then on sucked. That's essentially what they're saying.
Dude, it's just like an aura or something. I don't know.
It's weird. Because, you know, like the Good Brothers are good. I like watching them. I like them as athletes. They're a great tag team. But then, like, something happens. You know, something is lost in translation. Whenever they show up somewhere or do something, it's like, I don't know, something fucks up, right? Am I wrong about
that? It is weird. Now that you mention it, yes.
It's just strange. And I don't want to feel that way, but I do. I can't help it. The guys are – that's just the way they are.
Yeah, it is strange now that you say that.
Finjuice, who are signed to New Japan Pro Wrestling, are holding the titles for the first time. Anderson and Gallows held the titles for 120 days, winning them from the North. That's Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, which they're not a bad little tag team if you've actually seen them.
I haven't seen him. I mean, I know David. I know that name, David Finley.
Oh, it's Fit Finley's son.
Okay, maybe yeah. That makes sense. Was he in ROH before TNA? Do you know?
He may have had a cup of coffee in ROH actually.
Okay, I do remember seeing. Okay, I
just or you may have seen him in ROH. You may have seen him in ROH in like their little talent exchange with New Japan or something
like
that.
Yeah.
Rich Swann in the main event unified that Impact and TNA heavyweight titles, like you said, defeating Moose. He will move on to the Rebellion pay-per-view on April 24th, where he faces AEW World Champion Kenny Omega, title versus title. Yeah.
What is this?
I don't know, man. You know, it's like, you know, TK gets all this credit and stuff for like, oh, man, he's, you know, it's for the fans and stuff. I'm starting to feel like it is reminiscent of when Vince would give ECW those shots, but at least Vince had a financial stake or some sort of financial investment in ECW.
And ECW was its own entity too. I mean, it was kind of a phenomenon. Impact is far from a fucking phenomenon. And it's just, I mean, it's really not as good as ROH to me. And it has to be Don Callis. It has to be all Don Callis in this. He's
such a good salesman. He's a tremendous salesman. Like he's that kind of guy, but I still don't understand how you look at it and you go from TK's point of view. Yeah. We need to continue this relationship because TNA needs them way more than they need TNA.
Oh, not even close.
Because to be on Access TV and that little and get the little audience they get to have the exposure on AEW, and I just don't know what they're bringing to the party. I don't know what Don Callis is selling him on, unless I don't know if Don's able to be like, well, you know, your boy Sammy Guevara, he fucked us over pretty bad, so you kind of owe us. You have to keep this thing going. I don't know if they're using that one.
Surely not, man.
By the way, Sammy Guevara is now, on further review, my hero for fucking over TNA. I'm just going to say it.
Looking back, that was a nice move, yes. Good one, Sam.
I love the fact that he like made them tie themselves into shorts and, you know, made Don call his old buddy Jericho back to get his boy back home. I love it. And even if Sammy Guevara had to sit in the penalty box for a few weeks, shit, totally worth it, you know?
Yeah, well, it kind of fit the storyline anyway, so, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I feel about it. So,
yeah, I'm with you.
At the end of AEW Dynamite, after some very unsatisfying explanations as to what we saw on Sunday and then some audio issues and shit, we did finally get the breakup of the Inner Circle. And to me, this feels like they wanted to slow burn it for a while. But to me, this feels like them polishing the turd of what happened on Sunday with like, okay, don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to this. And now they're breaking up the Inner Circle. And for a hot minute, it kind of looked to me like they were like MJF was going to be the babyface, But then it looks like they're going to turn Jericho babyface. Yeah, is that what looks like is happening to you?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I figured it would be something like that. I certainly didn't think that all those other people would be involved, the Blanchard bunch and whoever else. There was who else was it?
Wardlow, for sure.
Wardlow yeah. and Blanchard's bunch. I never figured them into the picture whatsoever. But I did think that MJF might – pluck a couple of guys from the inner circle to be on his side, and that might be it. And then Jericho, you know, kind of split them up almost, split the inner circle up, like Wardlow and MJF and one or two other guys.
Here's one of these things is not like the other. Sean Spears. Come on for the ride, buddy.
Was it? Isn't he one of Blanchard's people anyway?
To me, that's like the most suspect signing they've ever had in that company. Is that like that guy?
He's got a lot to overcome to convince me, man.
How do you value that guy, but you only have Jeff Cobb in for like 30 seconds? How is that?
Dude, and then there's Bad Dude Tito, you know? Yeah, get him in there. God dang.
Tito's the greatest.
But, you know, here's the thing about what I thought about the Jericho thing. It was good, but I don't know if you've seen all the little things I was talking about earlier about the under the radar slow burn stuff. Have you seen this?
No, go ahead and spoil it for me.
Now, I have to preface this because I really haven't. I've just looked at bits and pieces. I don't know specifics, but there are tweets, specifically tweets, that somebody has gone back and looked over the year. And there's been little innuendos between Blanchard and MJF and all of Blanchard's crew, really, and MJF. Just little things apparently you just wouldn't even think about, you know, at the time. Yeah. But now you look back and go, oh, okay, this was in the works the whole time. But and that's fine, you know, but it was so inobvious, or whatever that word might be, non-obvious, that it was like – typical wrestling fans aren't looking for stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit they do all the time.
But it's just...
Even the insider stuff, and you and I get probably 50% of that stuff, even those guys are geeking out on their own shit, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, how did I word it the other day? I was something like, I don't mind people slow burning stuff, but I want it... I don't mind it being subtle, but just the subtleness of this, if indeed they haven't come out, and I don't think AEW's actually come out and said this is what's happened. I think it's just somebody that had a lot of time to kill has put, you know, thought of all these little scenarios along the way. And if it is the case, if they did do all that on purpose, then they can kiss my ass. I mean, seriously, if that's what they did and this is what they're, I mean, that's just ridiculous, man. Now I like a little drama. I like a little, you know,
a little tease,
whodunit and stuff.
Some yeah, little crumbs. Teases.
Yes. You know, like they do when, nice. Right. You know, like when tag teams are going to break up or, you know, something like that. And it doesn't even have to be that obvious even, but somewhere there's a happy medium between too obvious and just ridiculously way under the radar, non-obvious. And I think that's where this lied, because I just didn't see anything like this whatsoever, any kind of culmination with MJF and Blanchard's bunch at all.
What was that? But what was that shit the week before when they all came out and Arn and Tully flashed the Four Horsemen sign with Dash and Dawson? What was that?
I forgot all about that.
Well, I know, because it was like, okay, this seems like it's supposed to be a momentous thing. They don't just flash the four for anybody. That's like a historic thing. And again, among the geeks that are in the audience who know wrestling, going back, you and I, 40 years, we know what this means when they hold that up. Now, there might be some 25 or 30-year-olds that don't. And by the way, if you're going to appeal to 18 to 49 year olds, maybe stop signing 48 year old wrestlers.
Maybe.
I'm just going to say Christian Cage is not a young man, but it's just, you know, that's just me. So they flashed the four. That's supposed to be this momentous thing. And then that's forgotten because we've started this new thing. Unless, I mean, we always put this caveat. They always can save it. Like next week, I'm getting some information here that says the new faction is going to be called the Pinnacle. And then if Tully comes out, cuts a promo and says, this is the new Four Horsemen, it's the Pinnacle, you know, you could do something like that. But that even that seems a little empty, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially now. I mean, well, first of all, there's more than four of them, right?
Yeah.
There's like five or whatever. There's
too many, right.
There's too many of them. So, and when you said that, I didn't Shivani or one of the announcers when they did the four finger symbol last time, didn't one of them go, did they just flash the Four Horsemen signal? Did they just flash the Four Horsemen signal?
It was not subtle. It was not covert. That's for sure.
So I figured, okay, here it comes. This is it. You know, once Tully got in the ring, you know, they're all fired up now. You know, they want that. This is going to be the new Four Horsemen right here. And now this. So,
MJF. It's the Dash and Dawson. And it's Sean Spears and Wardlow. So it's they've got five, and then Tully. And I guess I don't know if Arn's going to be with them or if Arn's doing his own thing with Cody. I'm not sure. So Tully's supposed to be their James J. Dillon, I guess.
I'm assuming. I guess. It would have made sense before with, you know, this would have been a whole different argument about, all right, does Sean Spears really belong in a four? You know,
no, honestly. Sean Spears does not. No, he does. No planet that Sean Spears belongs. Sean, they're trying again. That's more turd polishing. This guy is just laying over here like a dead fish. And they're like, we'll see if we can give you some of the rub from the Four Horsemen or whatever.
I mean, this is like Tom Zink coming over to be, or whoever it was.
Solid call. Tom Zink. Nice. Nicely. Paul Roma. That's the beauty of also, like, in our minds, we always build up the Four Horsemen to be, like, way better than they were. I mean, it was only really, like, 2 years or 3 years that they were any good. And then you kind of forget about the Mongo McMichael stuff, and you forget about the Paul Romas, and then like when Benoit was with him, and it's like
I totally understand people who do forget that.
I mean, I'd like to forget it too. And when Mr. Perfect turned on him by taking their invitation, then fucking him over and stuff like that. But
oh my God,
even this seems weak by those standards, right?
Yes, it does. That seems like genius calls back then.
Although, as I'm looking over like their little faction. Putting FTR with MJF is like a three-man tag sounds amazing. And if Tony Khan wanted to really geek out with the wrestling geeks and have a six-man tag championship, I wouldn't hate that. I think that would be pretty funny. I don't think it would be very helpful for getting their product over and helping them out. But I think, again, I'm all into entertaining myself since he's all about entertaining himself.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know, if that's how we're going to do it, that's how we're going to do it, right?
let's entertain everybody. Everybody individually.
So you saw the numbers. Now, Meltzer is reporting this is going to be the most successful non-WWE wrestling pay-per-view since 1999. So that was last century. This is the most successful non-WWE pro wrestling pay-per-view this century.
The AEW one was?
Yeah. He was predicting that they're on track right now. Their cut of it's going to be like $3 or $3.5 million, which is not great or anything like that, but it's also not bad.
No, I mean, that's what AEW's bringing home after they pay everybody. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. The way he was explaining it. And I wasn't sure if it goes back because some people are still ordering it off of pay-per-view, like off of their cable TV, like clicking twice on the remote and shit like that.
Right. Right.
And then some people are doing what we did and what most, I thought everybody was doing is just going through, you know, Bleacher Report or going through one of those, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess Bleacher Report was the only way to get it in North America and then Fight TV around the world or whatever. The way he was explaining it, even that math, when you go through Bleacher Report or whatever, the math is still the same as it was back in the old days where they get about half of whatever the total price was.
I want to see now, this might be a dumb question, but with all the vice presidents they have, do they get extra cuts too, I guess?
That was a smart-ass question.
And I know. I should never ask stuff
you
like that.
You go sit over in the corner and you and Jim Cornette think about what you've done.
I'm sorry.
You and Jim Cornette think about how you've done.
Yeah, I'll sit over here with Jimmy.
I don't know. There's too many vice presidents in that thing. It looks like the Al-Qaeda chart. Remember the Al-Qaeda chart when they would kill like they would kill like the number two, and then there was like, well, there's like
a hundred. God, there's so many more left.
I know, there's like a million number twos. And there's only like number, and then they lay a big number two on Sunday night. So yeah. That happened.
Yes, they did.
So the vice presidents are Nick and whatever.
Nick and Matt.
Nick and Matt and Cody and Jericho. Those are the vice presidents, right?
I thought Omega was in there.
Oh, Omega's also a vice president. Shit, there's five vice presidents? God damn. That's hard. Even on House of Cards, when like Kevin Spacey was killing people, he was only like one. This shit is hard.
There might be more. That's just the ones I can think of. There might be more we don't know about.
This organizational flowchart is fucked up. it's messed up. So he's saying it's the most successful non-WWE pay-per-view since 1999, which, I mean, there's only really been one company in pro wrestling since 2001.
Well, I was going to say,
TNA has been there, but, you know.
Come on.
By the way, that's also like kind of a diss against TNA. So since you're dissing TNA, absolutely, Tony, go ahead and continue to do business with it.
Nice job.
They basically announced that TNA sucks and couldn't get any pay-per-view numbers, even with like all, you know, they had all of this WWE talent they would sign, like the guys that you've signed now, Tony, and they weren't able to do anything with it. Absolutely. Make sure you continue to put them on your TV for nothing. Make sure you do that.
TNA sucks. TNA is awful. TNA is the worst. Ladies and gentlemen, TNA champ, Rich Swann.
Here's Don Callis to tell you
more. Here's Don Callis, everybody.
I watched some of TNA, like, I guess last week, and Scott D'Amore is very entertaining to me in his authority role thing.
Because he's liked him, man. I really did.
He's great, and he's a good booker. So I don't understand how I square with what he and Don Callis have done to that company in the last 5 years. I don't know. Because I think they're smart guys.
Shaking our head about that one, man.
Because it sounded so good when they took over. It's like Anthem, and we're going to do this. I'm like, oh, this is great. Because you guys, you're pretty smart folks. But yeah. Then it's like, ugh. It's like so not good. So the ratings came out and they were significantly down from the week before, which
Ratings, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Dynamite versus NXT, and NXT is getting ready to move to Tuesdays and shit because of hockey, I guess. But
wait a minute, because of hockey.
Yeah, I think I think they're going to put some hockey on USA Network.
That's like back in the early 80s, man.
Exactly. I think Comcast Universal is freaking out because they need someplace to put their shit, and they're kind of running out of spots. And I thought maybe they were going to do something and get rid of NBCSN, possibly.
Yeah, so I thought that was happening.
Yeah, so they need to kind of move their shit around because they have.
Yeah. Oh, that makes perfect sense now that you say. I've forgotten about the NBCSN thing going away. So yeah, they're going to have to find some place to put the hockey and stuff.
Yep.
Well, that's probably good that they're moving to Tuesday, man. Because I've gotten to where, and I told you last week, I've gotten to where I've started catching up a little bit more the last few weeks on NXT because I just threw them away for a while. I just didn't really keep up with anything, but especially now that my boy or our boy LA Knight. Is part of the gig. I got to keep up with what's going on now.
It's like one of the great ironies that our guy Trevor Lee, Cameron Grimes, he starts doing well about the time that program starts sucking. That program starts going in the shitter, but he gets pushed and he's doing really great, right?
Well, you know, that could almost be a blessing in disguise for him.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you know, build him up now, and then once NXT kind of gets the little spark back that it had before at one time, there you'll be, you know? So maybe that'll happen. I hope so, man.
NHL and ESPN agree to a broadcast deal as NBCSN shutters. So, yeah, they're getting rid of the NBC Sports Network, and that's why they have to kind of move shit around. But the AEW TV ratings, I think it was like, 743,000 down from 934,000 viewers. Now, see,
wait a minute. That's post-pay-per-view show? From the pre post pay per view,
I'd love to be like every other podcast guy and tell you this just proves everything that we've said on here about how they shit the bed with their Sunday pay per view, but that's not really why it was down that much. I mean, Jack was on the week before, and that was part of the reason they got that huge boost.
Yeah.
So it was 734 or 743 for Dynamite. NXT had 691. But they were great in the 18 to 49, and the numbers, from what I heard Alvarez say, stayed pretty steady throughout for Dynamite. And they still, like I said, that 18 to 49, they did very well, a 0.32. And I think they were in the top five or top 10.
Yeah.
Huh. This is interesting. They break it down for male viewers and female viewers. And then they got 18 to 34s and stuff like that. But the 18 to 49 gimmick is like the one that they really need to hit on.
Right.
So, yeah, LA Knight is going to, I think, bring some juice to that thing if they do it right. Now, Vince, the game that you can play with yourself in your mind is like, well, Vince gets a load of this guy and see how he fucks him up.
All right. First of all, I'm tired of initials. We're just going to call him Knight.
I knew it. I knew.
It's going to be Knight.
Remember, that's how Bobby Knight got in trouble, is that kid called him Knight going across campus. He tried to throttle the kid.
Right there in the middle of that building or whatever it was. Between classes.
L.A. Knight, I got to say, that's a good-looking man. And that jacket, that leather jacket, that blue one is fantastic.
I don't know. What do you think about the name? I'm still trying to get used to the name. I don't know.
I mean, I wish it was Eli Drake, but I don't know if Vince has been stung by too many of these CM Punk situations where they get to leave and keep the name and everything like that. So yeah, he's like,
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let him go work for Tony Khan and just be Eli Drake again. God, drop it.
Well, at least when he does leave, he can talk shit about LA, the name LA Knight, you know.
LA Knight is a piece of garbage.
It says, I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Just a fact of life.
That is not a promise. That's a, I love hearing that guy talk shit.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that's almost impossible for him to be a heel because the audience is going to cheer for him.
Yeah. Well, you saw what happened in NWA. I think they kind of brought him in as a heel, and people started doing that, and he kind of just
can't do it.
Eased over into a damn baby face.
I'm trying to look. I think they're just talking about the possibilities of it going, of NXT going to Tuesday night. So it's almost in a fait accompli, but they've not really said it yet. And then there's some articles about how it might not be happening. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I hope we'll see. Does. I think the competition things kind of wore off. I mean, it's nothing there now.
Is it Tuesday night, the night we always watch Impact Wrestling on Axe?
Oh, my bad.
Oh, Jesus. Because for God's sakes, whatever you guys do, keep writing checks to Sammy Callahan, because that's going to pay off for you at some point. I'm telling you, just keep throwing that bad money after good on Sammy Callahan. That guy's going to come through for you in a major way, you dumbasses.
Is he – well, I don't know if you even know, but is he even still in there? Because I didn't see his name in the paper.
I saw him, like, introducing something or some shit. I don't know. I thought I did.
Okay. Well, maybe he was there and just didn't wrestle.
Wikipedia says he's currently signed to Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
And do you remember what his Lucha Underground name was?
Tijuana.
Douchey Tijuana is correct, and it was the Douchey and then T, and it was like an initial, and then Juana. You're gonna kick yourself when I say this to you. You're gonna be like, I should have known this, because you were like mega fanboy for Lucha Underground. Jeremiah Crane.
Oh, he was Jeremiah Crane. I had no idea, man. I never put two and two together on that for some reason.
That's him.
Jeremiah Crane. He was toward the end of the series, though, so that was...
Yeah. You know who always creeped me? You know always creeped me out from that whole thing was Marty the Moth. I did not like that character at all. Marty the Moth, to me, had go-away heat on Lucha.
Yeah, he was a little weird.
He creeped the fuck weird out of me. did not like it.
But we did meet two fabulous females from Lucha Underground. So
honestly, the impact of that little show on wrestling was pretty great, you know? As time went on, when you see what they were, and Helico and some of the others that have come out of there.
Yeah. And what's the dude's name now? The NXT
Ray Phoenix?
What do they call it? North American champ.
Oh, North American champ. Oh, yeah.
The Phantasmo.
Right.
And he's got another name now, but he was Phantasmo. But yeah, man, that Lucha Underground really, you know, they made a niche for themselves for sure.
It was such an interesting show. It was really good. The episodic parts of it were nice. I thought the backstage vignettes, that dude that played Dario Cuarto or whatever his name was, I thought that guy was a really good actor. I've seen him in a couple other things. I think he's a really good actor.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. But, you know, Katrina.
And then they would build the way that they would build up to Ultima Lucha. That was fantastic.
Well, I thought, you know, I thought the whole Matanza thing, Jeff Cobb, you know, that whole storyline was just, oh, I love that shit, man.
WWE is hoping to have 45,000 nights per night at this year's two-night WrestleMania in Tampa. Originally shooting for 30,000 nights, city officials told hotel officials in a meeting last week, WWE would like to see Raymond James Stadium at 75% capacity for April 10th and 11th. Capacity would have been 60. Why not make it? Jesus, guys, why not go all the way?
Why not?
They got a great article in the New York Times about how ignorant the people in Florida have been when it comes to the pandemic. Like 32,000 Floridians have died due to the pandemic. Texas plus Florida is about 13 or 14% of the entire total.
Unreal.
Those two states together, if you take those two states away, you lose 13 or 14% of the total of dead people. And in Florida, they've been ridiculous, especially on South Beach. Shit's open. Cafes are open. Kids have been, they never really even had the whole debate over kids going to school. The kids went to school back in the fall. It's ridiculous. There's your Texas jersey.
Yeah, I didn't even see that, but there it is.
There's your Texas Rangers jersey.
It's the first time I've ever worn this on here, too.
And that DeSantis idiot who's the governor of Florida, he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. I'm telling you right now, if there is a, I'm going to call it a 50-50 shot, that they can go to the authorities in Tampa, who seem to be not quite as crazy or as idiotic as the people in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you Vince and the company officials, his 500 vice presidents, could go to the folks in Tampa, and there's a 50-50 shot they could go full capacity.
Yep, I'd say more than that.
And they're gonna get 45,000. 45,000 will be done. That's a rubber stamp, no question about it. But I think there's a decent chance that they could go ahead and do 60,000. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that's even in discussion.
Well, DeSantis is even thinking of like telling the local governments to back off of the mask requirements.
Well, that's basically what Texas is doing now. They're pissed off in Austin because Austin is still has a mandate, but the state doesn't. And so they're not coming down. The state's coming down on Austin for still having a mandate.
How would you like that if you're a healthcare worker like in San Antonio or you're a healthcare worker in Miami? And it's like, we're trying to keep up. We're getting these bodies stacked on top of bodies. And they're just out there breathing on each other like it's cool. Like it never happened.
Well, you know, coming when we were driving back and while I was down in Texas, I noticed that and I even went into a Walmart in Texas and everybody that I saw, with the exception of maybe seriously about three or four people, and there was a shit ton of people in that store, were wearing masks. And I was really surprised, man. And any other place we went, everybody was wearing masks. And there was a couple of exceptions, but Louisiana and Mississippi, did we stop in Mississippi? It was Louisiana. They were worse. We had to stop there for a minute. And we went in somewhere there and it's like, you didn't see a mask. So I guess it just depends on where you go really, but in each state, but I just so happens into the part of Texas I was in, people seem to still be compliant. And this was like 2 days before the mask thing was supposed to be lifted. So
it's ridiculous. And I know. I'm telling you, keep your eye on that story. Cause there is a chance that he can go full capacity, 60,000 people in Raymond James Stadium, which I think would be a disaster. I think that would be terrible.
Well, I think it would be anybody that went to that as a fan is stupid too.
But they're going to also like these states like Texas and Florida are always bitching about the federal government. They're sucking money from the federal government to treat these people that they're helping to infect. Dude, right now.
Come on now. We can't tell these people facts.
it's unbelievable. That shit drives me crazy.
It's mind blowing, man. It's just, you just want to bang your head against the wall.
This coming week is going to be Steve Austin becoming the WWE Network, which again, I've gotten no communiques at all through my email or any other means whatsoever. Smoke signals, snail mail, anything from Peacock about here's what to expect. on the 18th. And it's, WWE is turning 316 Day into a week-long celebration. They've announced they'll be celebrating Stone Cold Steve Austin Week on the WWE Network and their social media channels next week. That will include two new documentaries premiering, a Best Of collection being uploaded, and a new episode of Austin's Broken Skull Sessions debuting. It'll be the Rattlesnakes interview with Randy Orton on the Broken Skull Sessions. Are you ready to hear him talk to Randall K. Orton on the Broken Skull Session?
Yeah, in a way I am. And maybe I can like him a little more if you know.
I doubt it.
Possibly. But yeah, you're probably right on that.
Goddamn, you took a shit in somebody's bag, son. Why'd you do that? Goddamn. Why'd you take a shit in her bag? You son of a bitch.
Have you caught any of the episodes with straight up Stone Cold?
Straight up
Steve Austin.
Which one is?
It comes on after.
With it, when he has people on there and stuff. Yeah, I've seen a few of them. Not all the way through, but I've just watched. You know,
the one with Charlotte was pretty good because she talked very, very openly and candidly about her career and stuff, and about like Reed and stuff like that. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I did see a little bit of that one for sure. I saw the one with Favre, and I saw the one with. What's the dude, the comedian used to be on? Not
Joel McHale's the one I saw.
Joel McHale. I didn't see that one.
I saw the one with Chris Stapleton, I guess, is the really big country singer guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was good too. I hate country music, and I sought out some of his music after that. So that's my testimony.
I got you. Oh, I know who it was. Is Rob Riggle. I saw that one.
Oh, he's funny. That guy's funny.
Yeah, I like him.
He's been on Modern Family. He does that Fox NFL gig that the impressionist used to do.
Impressionist used to do.
He's
Caliendo.
He does that gig. It's pretty funny. I think the straight up Steve Austin thing is pretty good. So yes.
Goddamn son, you shit in the bag. Why did you do that, you son of a bitch?
Now I also like on that when he gets like really intense, very serious. Steve Austin, like, and then you went over to Japan, and it turned out you ripped off your quad. Tell me about that. He sounds like so intellectually curious about that shit, right?
Yeah. He turns it on.
You shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Tell me about that.
Right?
He is, man. It's like. He sounds like he's being intelligent, and I guess he is, but it's like in that Steve Austin voice, it's hard to.
He's very sincere about it, too.
He's sincere, yeah.
It says here that you used to use sex as a weapon. Tell me about that.
Right. He just says it.
And then I was going through my research here, and it said, you said, and I quote, I'm the son of a bitch who named you Sue. Tell me about that.
Okay, so the other Steve Austin, like,
he goes Oprah on us, man.
Little tick he'll do is then he'll say, tell me about that, and then he'll go on to an explanation. He'll go,
all right, it says here that you shit in this woman's back. Tell me about that, because I never thought you shit in a back. And he'll do like the thing with his hands. Yeah. Like, because I always took a shit in the toilet. I mean, I remember one time I was on this road trip, and it was me and DDP, and I said, son, you need to pull over right now. And I shit in the woods, but I didn't shit in nobody's bag. It says here you looked up and you saw your sled and you said Rosebud. Tell me about that. It says you went over to him and you said, Luke, I am your father. Tell me about that.
I love that shit. Goddamn, I love that shit. That's so good. When he does that shit. The WWE. No,
I don't know. I've called him Dad, but I've never called him Father.
You know, because I never thought I'd call him Dad, but you know, that's how that went.
I've never noticed that. Well, I have noticed it, but I've never thought about it. But yeah, so funny.
He does that shit all the time. He'd be like super, because when it comes to the business, like he's like super intellectually. If you had $100,000 and they've been on a charity and they were like, here's $100,000. And for 12 hours straight, you get to hang out with Steve Austin. But the only thing you talk about is wrestling. God damn, that'd be like the best day ever, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'd be the fastest 12 hours of my life.
Not that, I mean, you know, it's the old meme, sex is great. But have you ever talked wrestling for 12 hours straight with Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one time I was in Memphis, and all I could eat was raw potatoes. I couldn't afford to get them cooked. Tell me about that, because I'm going to tell you. I go over to Evansville, I get a $20 payoff.
Remember, there was that story about Austin when he was in Memphis, and he looked at his paycheck, and it was like nothing. And he kept staring at it and staring at it. And Jeff Jarrett went over and goes, son, you can stop looking at it now. It ain't going to change. And in my mind, like,
something Jarrett would say too.
It does, like a dick move that he would say. And he wasn't Stone Cold at that time, but if he'd been Stone Cold, he would have got up and whooped his ass.
Right? Stone Cold him right there.
Fucking stunned him and kicked his ass. And then maybe at some point down the road, Jeff Jarrett kind of wishes he hadn't said that sort of thing to a young Steve Austin.
Little did he know.
There will be no shortage of classic Stone Cold moments to enjoy on WWE social channels, from daily full-length matches and Austin 316 Day exclusives to special editions of WWE Top 10 and WWE Playlist, and who knows how many stomped mud holes being walked dry.
Uh-huh.
In your opinion, is Stone Cold Steve Austin the very number one WWE superstar of all time?
Just on. Yes.
There's like no hesitation or anything like that. You're not even going to consider Hogan, Rock, Bruno. You're not even going to. To me, he is like the Michael Jordan. They try to make like there is some sort of controversy over whether Michael Jordan or LeBron James is the greatest of all time or whatever. And
here's my reasoning. Hogan has jumped around a little bit, right? And Austin, of course, he jumped around some too, but his last run, his last long run was with WWE. So that, I think that's key. When he retired, he was WWE, didn't go anywhere else. That's one. I know Rock didn't either, but still hear me out.
Here's a, it says here, you said, I hate an effing N-word. Tell me about that.
No. Steve, you never said an N-word before in your life? Come on, man.
That's why Hulk, and then you said we used to call each other N-word all the time in the early 70s. I just called my white friends that. Tell me about that, because I think you're full of shit.
Well, here's the thing. At this point, I think Austin is. Now, down the road, it could change. But, you know, I think it's just over time, I think Steve Austin has overtaken Hogan in WWE statuesque kind of position.
At this point, it's like Austin number one. I think Hogan's been bumped from the number two spot by Rock.
I think number two might be Rock.
And then we can have the debate on who's three and four, Bruno or Hogan. Hogan's probably three and Bruno's probably four.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it might be a little bit closer between Rock and Stone Cold as the number one person for this particular category thing. But I think the fact that Austin's kind of stuck around in other fashions, he's been on several Raws and pay-per-views, you know, stunning somebody here or there and making a, you know, a little scene here and there. And then, of course, he's got all those Stone Cold shows with wrestling shows. And Rock, you know, he's made some appearances, but not as many as Stone Cold and all. But Stone Cold still has a big presence. You know?
I managed not to bang Bubba Love Sponge's wife. Managed not to say the N-word on any sort of video or anything of that nature. I managed to do all that stuff.
Good for you. Good for you there, Stone Cold. We're proud of you.
It was hard, but that's how it is.
What was it? The guy, the Papa John's guy said he's worked like for 20 straight months to erase the N-word from his vocabulary.
Bless his heart.
You know what? He said he had made like a comment. I don't know if he'd said straight up the N-word or something like that, but he may have. And they were in a conference call going, man, you shouldn't do that. And he goes, oh, would you shut up? Harlan Sanders used that word. Fucking Harlan Sanders was born in 1890. 1890.
Jefferson Davis used that word.
Yeah, you dumb piece of shit. I think Colonel Sanders never really saw success in his franchise until he was 56 fucking years old, you moron. And he was born in the 19th century, you dipshit.
And that was two centuries ago now.
God almighty. Well, how stupid can you be? Well, I guess if he puts out that shitty pizza.
Yeah, no doubt.
Here is a full description of the Austin-themed program that's coming to WB Network. Tuesday, March the 16th, on the network, it is Meeting Stone Cold. WB superstars and legends recall their first impression of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Undertaker, Ric Flair, Booker T, and others recount a slew of unforgettable moments and memories they shared with Austin throughout the last 30 years.
Those should be good.
Friday, March the 19th, which is going to be on after the Peacock move over, learn about the origin of Stone Cold Steve Austin's famous finisher, the Stunner, its history with Austin, and how the legacy of the Stunner lives on today through WWE superstar Kevin Owens. Are you like me? Am I missing something? Isn't the Stunner exactly the same as the Diamond Cutter? Isn't the same move?
Yeah, but I know this sounds stupid, but didn't DDP, when he would get up and drop, he would drop with his legs straight out and sit like sit down? Didn't Austin do it on his knees?
I think you're right. I'm reading an article now. The difference is, while a cutter is finished with the attacking wrestler falling backwards with their opponent, a stunner is finished by the attacking wrestler forward into a seating position, forcing the opponent's jaw and neck down on their shoulder for a more brutal impact. So there's the difference between those two things right there. Yeah. I always thought it was like the same thing.
I think the headlock part is definitely the same.
Saturday, March the 20th on Peacock, it is the best of Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Texas Rattlesnake battles iconic opponents like The Rock, Bret the Hitman Hart, and The Undertaker in this collection of his greatest matches. You saw one of his most iconic matches at the Astrodome. That's one of the most important pieces of history in his career. And he made the mistake, he says, of turning heel.
Yeah.
When you said that, when he shook Vince McMahon's hand, what were you thinking as a fan?
I was like, I was disappointed as a fan. You know, I was like, oh, I don't want to root against Steve Austin.
I know, right? Nobody wants to.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Was it like the incredulosity of you and me as we stared at each other after the Undertaker got pinned?
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Did we just see what we saw?
I went with my brother, and he, you know, he knew pretty much everybody, but I don't think he knew much about the storyline. I had to kind of tell him about each of the storylines, so he didn't have as much. I don't know. Time invested or whatever.
He was into
it. So, you know, it's hard to keep up with somebody like us anyway. If you're not us, it's hard to keep, you know, with wrestling. So, you know, so when that happened, I didn't really have anybody to look and stare at like I did with you that day. You know, I
just kind of stared
straight away going, what is this?
What the fuck? What the fuck is happening? What am I seeing here?
I will say the thought went through my head, at least I got to see it while, you know, live, I guess, if that was any kind of silver lining.
And I have had so many neat memories around wrestling shows, like in Pofftown, seeing the woman in the wheelchair use an offensive weapon, or the ultimate wagon. We've had so many fun things happen at wrestling shows.
Oh my God, just bizarre stuff.
I think I was telling somebody about that a couple of weeks ago. Like, I was telling some members of my family, like, yeah, we'd like to go to wrestling and stuff. And it's like, we've really had some really interesting memories over the years of going to and seeing that shit. Some weird shit, that's stuff that I'll never forget either, man. Some of those matches between Trevor and Andrew Everett, and those 60 minute marathons he would do for a long time at the CWF arena and shit.
Yeah, and it seems like it wasn't 60 minutes. It seemed like it was like 15 minutes.
They couldn't get enough. The fans couldn't. And you're like, how is an indie show do you book a main event that's like 60 or even minutes long or even longer? The fans ate it up, and they would come back the next week or 2 weeks later, and they would have their money ready to go again, dude. They
take my money.
They could not get enough of him, of Trevor Lee and that fucking CWF doing 60-minute, whether it was Andrew or whether it was whoever it was, man. They would just go crazy to watch him go long-ass fucking matches, like Stairway to Heaven shit, dude.
Yeah, man, because he was that good. That's just bottom line.
After a while, you knew you were watching something special, and you knew it was going to be like, you know, I'm not going to be able to see this forever. And that's what made it so difficult when he left, and then like shortly after he left, they shut the whole thing down and stuff. But you know,
yeah,
we'll always have our memories. That's for sure.
Definitely, man. And don't forget the Rick Converse pulling up with his music playing in the car.
That's an icon. I was dying. My allergies were killing me. I'm like, why do they have that door open? I'm dying over here.
Big bay doors.
So we just whatever something happens. I don't know if it's sensory overload, but you and I just mark out all the time at the shows and shit. Like,
it's just, even, well, they give us stuff to mark out on, dude.
And like that Steve Corino, that bloody ass match with BJ Whitmer, we're like, man, why are they wearing white? I don't understand.
Come in dressing like surgeons. What the hell is like, going on?
Why is Steve Corino's hair like it's dyed like fucking white? I don't
like whiter than normal white.
It's like he just dyed it. I don't care. And of course, they bled all over each other.
Two steps in the ring, and they started bleeding. You know,
that was also the kick that ass story too. Yeah.
She liked that post. She liked that. Did you see that?
I saw it. Oh goddamn! So we were at that show. It was an ROH pay per view. It was down at Irish Potato Road, down at Concord. It was Steve Corino and BJ Whitmer in a match where they bloodied all over each other. And then there was a dust up before it was all over, and it was Mandy against Taylor Hendricks. They got into some sort of cat fight before the thing was, and they expelled
the ring, yeah.
And they expelled Mandy before the match, and she's walking back. I'm like, yeah, Mandy, kick that ass. And she looked at me like,
so I looked at you. I was like, did you just tell her to kick that ass?
It's like, she said, yeah. She was just so happy it wasn't some 400-pound dude talking about how he wanted to fuck the shit out of her. Like, she's in that situation, and there's like a bunch of us there, and there's like not one fuckable guy in the whole place. So she's like, oh, well, somebody's actually complimenting my work. That is strange. One time a guy said to you, kick that ass. Tell me about that.
I've never had anybody tell me that.
Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
No, I'm closing thoughted out, I think.
Yes, it's been a tough week, man. You've had a brutal kind of taxing week mentally and physically. You need to rest up.
Yeah, now we're recovering, really.
Plus, you had an hour of sleep that you lost, too.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
On top of all of that, Bryant is available at Bry Sports on Twitter and on Instagram, and it's going to be Stanley Jackson 23 on the TikTok, right?
Yes, sir.
Nailed it. Boom. Right there. You can get in touch with me on Twitter at Britt Whitmire. Most of my stuff, though, is through our account, which is Katie Vick Alive on the Twitter, at Katie Vick Alive. Instagram, it's BDub for Reels, BDUB number 4, REELZ. And if you want to help us out in what we do, all you got to do is shop at our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. That's katievick.com. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.